Joke's on me. Been out in the hallway talking and everything, and didn't realize that Pastor Melissa wasn't here this morning. So if you will roll with me, I'll roll with you. And I know we've got Coach here, so we've got the cleanup hitter right over here in the first pew. So he'll take care of things, and I'll lead off. Do we have any parish notices to come forth this morning? Gene. What's the date again?
December 13th,
5:30. Okay.
All
right. Any other parish notices to come forth this morning? Please take note of the announcements in your bulletin, which I haven't read yet either. Okay, but take a look at those. And with that, let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Will you please stand with me? Gracious God, author of freedom and liberation, we are mindful this morning as we gather of the bittersweet reality that many of our young men and women have given their lives for our safety. We are grateful for the sacrifice of time, time lost from their families, time that they could have been safe and home, time that they could have furthered their careers but chose service instead. We are aware that there are thousands today who currently serve as protectors of freedom. We pray for their continued safety, success, and happiness throughout their service and life. Amen. And at this time, in recognition of our veterans, if you have a veteran in your family or someone you would like to recognize, would like you to call that name out now, and I will do my best to repeat it.
Dean McCumber.
Jim Leland. Hammond, Jim Hammonds, yes. Paul Stevens. John Hall. Jake Sawmiller. Tina and Rob Pollack. Clark Ringwald. Jason Bullinger. Dave Hummel.
Steve Sanfilippo.
Charlie Bear. Bob Wurtenberger.
Charles Bowen.
Mark H. Dingus.
Mark E. Dingus.
Awesome.
Lloyd Heath.
Kent McClure.
Brian Stewart.
Janine Bogan.
Morris Dawson.
Delbert Springer.
Don Holloway.
Matt and Bryce Stewart.
Charles Cherry.
Wilmer Bauer. John Silas Jr. and Senior.
Dave Teeple.
Mike Hughes. Danny Egler.
Warren Reed.
Bob Holloway. We are so very, very thankful to enjoy the freedoms that we have today from the veterans who have served for us to give us those freedoms. Let us join together in our introit, He is My Savior. Jesus, our Lord, has risen and is alive.
Lord, may we experience the power of your word and live by it.
The call of freedom has been sounded.
Lord, may we respond as a community of the free.
It concerns every one of us personally, in our place, in our humanity, in this world of ours.
Lord, may the spirit and gift of your freedom break the spell of our fears and send us away, obedient rebels, lovers of life's depths, and as your disciples forever.
Let us join together in hymn 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Take this time to greet each other in the passing of the peace. At this time, if we could have the children come forward for the children's message, and Jean will be giving that.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys all doing today? Is everybody doing good? starting to gear up for Thanksgiving, being off a little bit. You got one more week of school, right? And then you're off. Is that it? All right. Well, since it is close to Thanksgiving, I decided today I'm going to talk about a story from the Bible. And I know if any of you have been to our Bible school, we talk about the Bible and we say that, you know, all the stories in it are true. Nobody's ever been able to prove them wrong. So the story I'm going to tell today is about some men who had a disease back then. It was a skin disease called leprosy. Has anybody ever heard of leprosy? I know we talk about it. You've heard of it, Michaela? Do you want to tell me what it is, or you want me to tell? You want me to tell? Okay. It was a skin disease, and back in Bible times when they had leprosy, they couldn't live within the city. They had to live outside the city walls, and they had to leave their families, and it was a really traumatic disease for them where they had to change their whole life, and it was never curable. So once you got it, you had it for life, unless you knew Jesus. So the story I'm telling is from the book of Luke, chapter 17, and this is the story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and that was because they couldn't get near anyone. They had to stand so many feet away from people, so they were really, like, left out on their own. So they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan, which back then the Samaritans were, they didn't get along with the Jewish people at all. And so it was really shocking that of the 10, he was the only one who came back and said thanks. So Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So I think what I'm just trying to tell you is, right now, since we're getting so close to Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving is really God's holiday and our turn to thank him for all the blessings that he's given us. So when you're sitting at home eating your turkey and everything else that I like to eat, just make sure that you say a prayer and give thanks to God. Amen. And Katie, I think, is going to carry our mic. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. I'm new at this. So we take one for ourselves and one for somebody else. And what do we tell them? Aubrey?
Jesus loves you.
Thank you, Jean. And yes, Katie and Luke are going to help with joys and concerns. This is a time in our service where we share those joys that we've experienced throughout the week and concerns that we want to share with our church family. I do want to express a couple of joys. First of all, this past Wednesday, we had our, and you guys can return to your seats. Thank you very much. Oh, Children's Church. I'm sorry. Yes, we do have that today. And there's Allie over there. And these two are going to be a little late. No, you got to stay. All right. You'll be tardy, and she'll let me know about it. All right? But no, a couple of joys. This past Wednesday, we held our first Veterans Day all-day activities at the school. And our students did a great job, and it was great to have over 100 veterans at our program in the afternoon. And it was such a great experience for all of us. And we really turned this administratively, we turned it over to three teachers, James Lotzenheiser, Mike Bowen, and Allie Sawmiller. So they did an outstanding job with it, and I can't say enough, and we're excited about bringing the veterans back in next year already. The second joy I want to share real quick is Friday night I was able to see our school musical, Beauty and the Beast, and I just want to compliment the cast and crew. I'm going to say Katie Hughes did an outstanding job, and I don't say that because I don't want to recognize Katie. I'm just afraid I'm going to miss anybody. Was anybody else in the play that's in church today? But Katie had a prominent role, and she did an outstanding job, and it just was a fabulous, fabulous production. So if you could join me and give Katie a round of applause. Yes. And I will give the mic to Katie and Luke, and if you have a joy or concern, please raise your hand, and I'll come around with it.
Gail and our youngest grandson last Sunday had a birthday. Gail and our youngest grandson.
Okay, awesome.
I'd just like to give thanks to all the prayers and stuff that's come to me this week because of the tragedy that happened to me this week. So it's been a blessing. The whole town's really been supportive, so I just want to give out the praise and thanks to them.
We're there for each other, aren't we, David?
My mom's birthday is Thursday.
Okay.
Ask for your prayers and put my aunt Dorothy McCumber on the prayer list. She is in St. Rita's with heart problems.
The last few weeks, I know all the men and ladies from this church has been busy with many, many different things that they've helped volunteers, but I think I'm the last one for this season, at least till tomorrow. Last Sunday, this little elves and the little gals with extra wings was at Betty Springer's on Ritchie Road, and they raked leaves, and it was great. Another year, I would say, probably 5-6 years, including Mom and Papa Leary. They were little elves and little helpers too, and they just raked and raked, and I want to thank them. I didn't put it in the bulletin because I was busy too. But thank you so much. And if there's any of the kids that were there want to stand up, I will applaud them once again.
Let's do that. Our leaf rakers from last week, if you could stand, please, and let's recognize them. Thank you.
Thanks again. And we did have some snacks.
Oh, I'm sure.
So next year, you could put it on your calendar. In case.
You're right, Betty. I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it last Sunday, and that was the one thing I definitely thought about. I'm not getting food at Betty's.
Gloria and I are celebrating our wedding anniversary this week on the 20th.
Awesome. And it's your 20th? I know that. Congratulations. How many is it? Uh-oh. They looked at each other. 44. Awesome. Awesome.
Along with the youth group leaf rakers, and thank you, Betty, for reminding me, because I had a UMYF alum come back, Jordan Miller, and Ashley, his wife, were huge helps. Betty's yard probably would not have been done till midnight if they had not been there. So I know they're not here, but I am so thankful for them for helping out.
Well, Margaret missed a step yesterday and wound up at the bottom of the stairway. She's landed home with a broken ankle. We will explore what needs to be done further here as the week goes on. We went to the emergency room and they splinted it and such. So anyhow, she'll be a little less mobile for a little while.
And a little more work for Dick.
I don't know if you noticed, but Adrian Hanover is back on the prayer list. Got a call the other day from Colleen, and Ray, you can correct me if I've got this wrong, but her kidney has failed. The replacement that she got from her husband, and she only has the one kidney. She's back on dialysis and also back on the donor list. And they put 40 pounds of water in her kidney to shock it to see if it would work, and it didn't. So we need prayers for Adrian.
Do we have any other joys or concerns to come forth at this time? Can we show our appreciation for Luke and Katie? Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to share our joys and concerns. We know that you already know what they are, but it's just an awesome opportunity for us to share with each other and to care with each other those joys and concerns. Lord, we're thankful for our veterans. We're thankful for all that they sacrifice for us to be able to do what we do and to enjoy the freedoms that we so richly do enjoy. Let us go to the Lord at this time in silent prayer. Again, Lord, we know that you know what is in our hearts. And we know that we can come to you at any time. But we also know that you brought us together and taught us the words to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. At this time, we'll have our morning offering, so if the ushers will come forth. Thank you. Please join me in our offering prayer. Gracious God, we praise you for your answer to our prayers. Even before we ask, you are working out your purposes in our life and in the world. Give us patience as we await your response to our petitions. Lead us to look around and recognize the people to whom we could show compassion. Let the money we give today be used to address the concerns of people in need,
both locally
and in the wider church. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Let us join together in hymn 213. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Seated. And at this time, Jean's going to come forward and do the scripture reading for this morning.
I'm way shorter than Dave. I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, a little lead into this. Samuel, the beginning of Samuel, there was a woman in the Bible named Hannah, and Hannah could not have any children. And back then, a woman who could not have any children was a huge deal. So Hannah was in the temple one year, and she knelt down, and she just cried out to God. And she prayed to him and said, you know, if you give me a son, I will turn him back over to you. And so God heard her prayer, as he always does, and he decided to grant her prayer. And so she had a son. She named him Samuel, and after he was weaned, she actually took him to the temple and gave him over to the priest, which I think was a very courageous thing for a woman, and Samuel became a great prophet is the end of the story. But and Hannah was very thankful to God, and so she expressed her thankfulness in a prayer, and this particular chapter starts out called Hannah's Prayer. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food. But those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne seven children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap.
He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And now the gospel reading from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another, and everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite of the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains." Amen.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our speaker today needs no introduction, but I'm going to give one anyway. Ray Etzler is a pillar of our community. His faith is strong and solid. He's influenced many, many young men who went through his basketball program, myself being one. I can honestly say that I really know that I would not be up here if it wouldn't have been for Coach Etzler's sharing of his faith and challenging us as young men to not only be better basketball players, but to be better people. Coach, I had the privilege, Pam and I had the privilege of having supper last night with Dan and Toby Fiesel. So, sitting down with Coach Fiesel, who worked with Coach Etzler for many, many years, through the 70s and the 80s, and as I'm thinking right now, I'm not so sure being around them last night and now today, I'm going to be called to get on the baseline and run some sprints or something here real soon. But again, it is an honor and a privilege, Coach, for us to have you here today, and we appreciate your visiting with us. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Ray Etzler.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity to share with you a mission that we have within our community that is growing day by day, and it is growing by the grace of God and by the help of the people in the community. I'm talking about the Village Ministry Center, and if you will open your bulletins, I think there is a copy of a brochure that talks about the Village Ministry Center. This center was founded around a verse in Colossians. Matter of fact, it's Colossians 3, verse 2, that says, "Keep your eyes on things above and not on things that are of this earth." The Village Ministry Center, if you'll turn to the middle of the brochure, talks about the mission and vision that we have at the Ministry Center. The Village Ministry Center is a community of Christians seeking to be the presence of Christ in the center of Conway, Ohio. The VMC's mission is to establish Christ-centered relationships with the village residents through various programs, classes, and other opportunities as offered by the VMC staff and by other volunteers. Our vision, and that's a big one by the way, is to see in Conway strengthening families, empowering people, and encouraging faith. As most of you know, the center and strength of our communities is our families. And the demographics in Conway, Ohio has changed just like it has all over the United States. And if you think about that, I go back 60 years ago. It'll never be the same. But let me just give you a few ideas of what happened back then and maybe why we had the strength that we had it. There were over 40 businesses in the convoy area that supported families and also employers. Let me just list a few of them, if you would. We had 3 grocery stores, 7 gas stations, 4 auto dealerships. And let me just suggest this, that we had a Ford dealership. It was Hurls, Mollenkopf's, and Peck Whirlings, for those of you who might have been here in the 70s. We had a Chevy dealership, probably the most honest people in convoy. Because if you can remember the sign that stood outside of the Chevy dealership, it says, Bell Brothers Garage, good and bad used cars. Remember that? Who would put something on there unless you were honest? Good and bad used cars. And we also had a Henry J. dealership, which Dean Brandstrader, I think, was a longtime member of your church. He sold it out of his home. It looked like a little whale with tails on the back of it. It was a Ford product. He sold those. We had a jewelry store, a hardware store, an international dealership. We had 2 elevators, a meat market, 3 restaurants, one of which is Betty back here. We had a furniture store, and I just talked to Brian Keith before the program here. He had mentioned that his father's business disbanded in 1964, and at what time he had 20 employees employed by that furniture store. A clothing store, dry cleaning store, 5 and 10, a bakery, a barber, 2 barbers, a hatchery, a poultry store, a tin shop, auto body, 2 doctors, a dentist, a vet, an appliance store. We had honey business, the apiary here on convoy, where Donald D's now is there. Welding shop, printing store, telephone company, shoe repair, small engine repair, churches, 4 churches in our particular area in town here. We also had a drug store, insurance agency, a lumber yard. We had a salvage yard just as we have now. Funeral home, drug store, insurance business, and last but not least, we had a lumber yard, which stayed in business for, is it 105 years now? 105 years. Those many were family businesses. And the employees were family. They were treated as family. We might think that we are close now, but the closeness back then was a whole lot different in a different respect. For those of you who grew up in South Convoy, see Gail back there and Dave Hummel and Mrs. Keever back here. Everybody knew everybody, good or bad. We helped each other, visit the sick, helped the poor, shared with one another. We were a community. We were a family, and we had family values. I'd mentioned the churches we have in town. Convoy Methodist is probably one of the pillars here. Trinity Methodist. The church is set on the south side of Convoy here, the ENR Church, which, by the way, every time it flooded was our swimming area because the basement flooded, the water just went on out there. That hasn't changed, I don't think, here in Convoy. But anyhow, we had a Baptist church. We had our church, which was St. Paul's. We had a church, Ashbury, out in Union Township, Dixon Methodist and Minster Methodist. Also, Elm Sugar Methodist, if you remember those churches. And those churches on Sunday morning were full. They were full because mom and dad took their kids. And that was part of the church service. I never forget this. When we first came to Convoy, I went out to St. Paul's. This was a German church. We had 3 services. German was first. We had Sunday school, and then we had 2 English services. Unfortunately, we got stuck going to the German service and the second service after that because my mom and family were German. I never understood what was going on, except I could understand what Grandma would say. That was nit, 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 nit. That meant no, no, no. We were probably in trouble, me and my brother. It's about all I got out of the German service. But anyhow, churches were a very, very big part of our families and our communities. And as you can tell in our areas here, this is probably one of the things that's failing. We took Colossians 3 because Paul talks about what the plan of salvation that Christ has for each one of us. And this book is probably one of the most Christ-centered books in the Bible. It talks about the preeminence of God and the presence of Christ in all parts of our salvation. That he is the complete person to come to for spiritual as well as practical needs. And the community in Convoy, we're using the village ministry to help bridge that gap if we could. We probably think that we are exempt of having problems that urban and bigger communities have, but we do not. If we got on rose-colored glasses, we need to take those off. Because within the Convoy community, there's drug abuse. Lots of drug abuse. There is neglected children. Lack of job opportunities. Increasing poverty. And yes, homelessness. These things come to the center from time to time where we need to help and do help. The VMC's part in strengthening the families, on the inside cover, I'll read that to you. We at the VMC are working to come alongside these families to show them that the hope is Jesus Christ and demonstrate a life that can overcome the problems we face in this world. The hope is Jesus Christ. Emphasis on the hope is Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, the community will never be the same because we are in what we call a transitional community. And what does that mean? Well, to best describe it, we're the first town across the state line and we're the last town going to the state line. So naturally, we get people who, this is the first stop and the last stop. These people come to our community with absolutely no community ties, no relationships. They have no person to go to, no extended family, and they have no person that would take them under their arms that they are familiar with. We need to give those people hope. Those are the kind of people that we need to shoulder with and talk about the love of Jesus Christ and how it has helped and how it can help them through our example. This is called empowering people. At the bottom, following the examples of our Savior, the VMC wants to be a friend to those in need. We truly like to empower people and change their lives. We seek to share God's saving power with the people of Convoy, Ohio. A river starts with a trickle. Trickle to a stream, to a creek, to a river, to a lake. Convoy probably is that trickle. It needs to start somewhere so that we can pass this on. Our school does a tremendous job. Tremendous job with our facility we have down here with Christian education. That, through the grace of you, was built because we felt that that was very, very important. We can pass that on to children. I do not know the exact percentage that we have, but when we go, when Warren and the boys go to give Bibles, we give out a number of Bibles to the fifth grade people. And the number of students who come to that program is quite extensive. But we need more. They're here at the school. They leave to go home. We have to have some kind of a gap there. And that's what we're hoping to provide for kids. Strengthen the families, empower people, and encourage faith. When you don't have anything and you're down and out, your faith is really lacking. We are here to demonstrate the Village Ministry Center that God is the answer. That His faith, the faith that you have in Him, can give you, as we mentioned before, all spiritual and practical needs that you have and ever will want. Programs that we presently have are listed on the inside of your bulletin here, and we offer many, many more. If you need to check on what the up-to-date programs are, we have an excellent website that you can check on. We got some things that are coming up for the summer and the winter programs. Probably the number one thing that we offer at the present time is homework completion. This is not only a place for students to come and do their homework, but it is a place where it is safe. For every night from 3 to 4:30, it's a safe environment for them. They have people around them who, number one, cares. Number one, who are willing to share themselves to those people. Not just as a tutor, but as a friend and a confidant. This past summer, several of you ladies, I think Linda, if you could mention four or five of the ladies, helped with our VSB program we had. And by the way, that was a tremendous success. Through the help of the four different churches in this area, we had a successful VSB program, introducing people to Christ who had never heard them before. I share this. When we first started this back in 2013 and 14, the students would come in, we'd do homework, and then we would have a snack, and then that usually chaos after that, because you know what happens, you get a little sugar in people. But anyhow, we decided to change things around a little bit, so the idea was that they come in and do half an hour of homework, then we have prayer time. It's totally amazing what young kids want you to pray about. Many times it is student-led. Oh yeah, we have pray for my dog, my cat, my grandma, and all these kinds of things. But many of them are very, very sincere. And that's where this comes out. That's where some of these ideas come out. About what's happening in our family. What's mom and dad doing? Pray for dad, pray for mom, they're not getting along together. These kinds of things come out in these prayers that they have. Then, of course, we finish up the day with our homework and send them on our way. So at the present time, we have 11 teachers who are past retired teachers, all except for one who come from Parkway, who do the instructional teaching of these kids. We also have 12 people who are part-time people who fill in between 2 and 7 times per month. Each one of these teachers has 1 or 2 days that they come, give of their time to these kids and work with these kids. Some of them have come very attached to some of the kids. And they share with some of the kids. When the Lutheran minister was here in town, she was part of our board. And by the way, our board is consisted of someone from each one of the churches in the community. And her part of the program was to get counseling through Lutheran Social Services, free counseling for people. When she left, that kind of dropped off the map. We're trying to get that back into as well. People who need to have Christian counseling about problems that they have. We're working hard on that right now to get that back in store. But that's one of the programs that probably needs to be here in the community itself. Also, in addition to homework and the tutoring, we have Women at the Well. Those of you people who like to read, they do that on, I think it's a Wednesday or a Friday program at 9 o'clock, every Wednesday or every Friday morning at 9 o'clock, Women at the Well. Bible books, also books of just any kind of scripture that they're talking about. We pray for the schools. First Sunday, each month at 5 o'clock, there's a prayer session down here for the schools. Stitch Together, those people who like to sew. We have a program there where Christian women get together, share their skills, and also share their faith. This program got started about 4 years ago, and it got started because of a vision that was made known to our church. Pastor Saylor took a group of people to the Cleveland area to an urban retreat. And they're like, work like many of you guys do in Haiti and surrounding areas, Kentucky and so forth. We had the opportunity to work with people within the inner city of Cleveland. Now, their program wasn't a building like we have, but it was within the homes. And these homes supported different people in different need areas. The idea was born with that, came back to Convoy, and what can we do here to help the people of Convoy? And our model that we have at the present time is centered around that. We as a church decided to do that because of our 50th anniversary when our two congregations came together, and that wasn't easy. It was not easy. We had the old German traditional and the conservative in Convoy here. Many battles went over what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do. And finally, we got together, we built a new church, and the idea of us getting together was the most important thing. Our church getting together because of the various different ideas and beliefs that we had concerning how our church is operated. And I think that's what our community needs to do. We're not Methodists, we're not Lutherans, we're not Baptists, but we are Christians. We're Christ-centered people who want to share the plan of salvation to other people. This is a tool that can help. And where better else to start with that tool than with our youth, with our young people? As I said before, we do a great deal of work with those in our program down here. But once they go home, what happens has all dropped. We'd like to get those kids to get their parents to come up there and see what we're doing. Yesterday was a good example. For those of you who attended the Christmas in Convoy, they had kids there as well as adults there who were making Christmas ornaments. Just like a beehive of activity going on in there. Sharing with one another. These are the kind of activities that we need to do to get our people back together. No, I don't expect it to be back what it was in the 1960s. That's not going to happen. But we can get together. We can get together and let people know more about the message of Christ throughout our community. Strengthen our community makes strength in families. Our school is a pillar of strength. But again, we only have the kids down there for 6 hours or 7 hours, and then they go. They go off someplace else. We'd like to have Bible study for youth. And I know that Mrs. Holloway here does a... Excuse me. Mrs. Holloway. You did marry her, I know. I'm sorry. But and whoever was married, what was it, 44 years? I tell my wife we've been married 53 years. And three of those, right, put all days together, were great. Not all great. But anyway, with the youth that we have here, to join those groups together, get those people together for the same common thing that we're trying to do. How you can help us, a couple things. Your prayers are more important than you can ever believe. That is the strength. Prayer is the strength of everything that we have. Secondly, that center is operated totally on donated things. We got it started with some grants that we wrote to completely renovate a program. We had a code up, and it was quite expensive. But it is up there now. We got an air conditioning unit. We got a good heating system. We got an environment that's safe for kids to come into. Volunteer help is another way that you can do. You don't have to be a super smart person. You can help serve snacks. You can just be there for someone to listen to, the kids after school. I know God has a plan for every one of us. And that plan still might be in the back of your mind here to help out. Help the community by visiting the community center. I thank this Methodist Church for their involvement. You probably are more involved than what you really believe you're involved. More involved financially than you think you are. More involved volunteer-wise than you think you are. And more involved in the support that you give the people. We have a lot of people to be thankful for. Ray Hertz, the building that we're using right here. Totally renovated. Ray had that at one time as a museum. Gave that up to have an opportunity for the center to come. So I challenge this church to be a part of strengthening our families, increasing our faith, and empowering people through the love of Lord Jesus Christ and with the work through the ministry center. Thank you very much.
Up here.
Thank you for that very, very important message, Coach. I will share, I was talking with, I can't remember if it was Carl Etzler or Dave Springer, but I've already thought with our bike walk run-a-thon next year to issue a challenge with Redeemer and go visit their church service and share with them what we do and challenge both congregations to be involved with that next year to raise money for the VMC. And I have had the opportunity to stop in the VMC a couple of times. Should be in there more than I have been, I will admit that. But what is going on in there is outstanding. And again, as Coach mentioned, if however your heart is moved, either financially or if you're able to help out, they're not going to say no if you walk in the door. Kim Clayton is one of the ladies who really does a great job with things at the Village Ministry Center and the after-school tutorings. Opportunity for our students. Our elementary and middle school students will see maybe there'll be 5 there one night and 30 the next. It really varies, and it is a great opportunity for us to, again, address the needs of our community. At this time, we'll have our closing hymn number 717, Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you.
Let us receive the benediction. Lord, your truth is marching on, and let us be vessels to take that truth into the mission field. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.